We come today to a commandment about how we should honour our parents. And I want you to be bearing with me today, because I normally take one passage and explain that. But if you want to open your Bible, I think Ephesians 6 is the best place to be, on page 1177. Though I will today range more widely than I normally do across the whole Bible. Well, in every generation, the generation gap, some would say the gulf, is obvious. Some years ago, on a freeway in the States with Camilla and George and Tom, there's a car we were just behind. The sticker on the back said this: "Avenge yourself, live long enough to be a nuisance to your children." Or the father commenting about the time his son was returning home said to him this: "I'm warning you, my lad, the night before last you came home yesterday, last night you came home today, tonight if you come home tomorrow, you're in big trouble." And the experience of relationships between children and parents and children will vary from the tragic to the wonderful. I think all of us in the family life have known the joys, at times the difficulties as well. Oscar Wilde cynically said, "Children begin by loving their parents. After a time they judge them. Rarely, if ever, do they forgive them." Let me quote the two people from a national newspaper. Sarah Hogg was perhaps one of the most influential women in British politics in the last 20 years. She was head of the policy unit at Number 10. She's married to Foreign Office Minister Douglas Hogg. Her father had been Lord Boyd Carpenter, who was a former Chief Secretary for Treasury. And in the Times newspaper, back in 1994, she said this in an article, that she was grateful for her privileged upbringing, but it's not material wealth she meant. I had the only kind of privilege that counts, having loving parents throughout my childhood. Well, a few years later, Anne Robinson in the Times magazine, in the diary section, "Dr. Spock never cautioned that 3 decades on, the baby would come back to blame you for his or her bulimia, anorexia, addiction to drugs, alcoholism, poor sex life, bad marriage, lack of self-esteem, unresolved anger, or phobia about getting a job." Another friend, she said, tells me she's very tired of being told by her son and daughter that she's controlling, an irritating New Age word used by adult children if they suspect a parent is about to give them the benefit of their wisdom. Mm-hmm. Varying perspectives on parenthood and childhood. Our experience in families is varied. And some people here this morning may have had an abusive parent who perhaps drank a lot and then hit their mother or them. Perhaps some had a father who just pushed off, or a mother who did, left them totally alone. Perhaps some might even have a parent who sexually abused them. And if you want to talk about it further with one of the clergy, please feel free to contact us. What I want to say this morning is the Bible is clear about how parents should relate to children and children to parents. So I want to ask 3 questions on this issue today. First, what is the obligation? What is the obligation? Exodus 20, verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother." And that is a continuing obligation. And honor has the sense of prize highly, give weight to, not in a physical sense, but in our attitude to them. Honour your father and your mother. It is to be a proper respect, a proper attitude to our parents. parents to have due weight in all our considerations. And notice it's equal honour for father and mother, because at times that hasn't always been the case in Britain. Think back to Victorian England, and certainly isn't the case in the world today. But Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey not because they're Christians in the Lord, but because you are. If you're somebody who's in the Lord, grafted into him in a personal relationship, you're to honour your father and your mother. And that is markedly different to the cults. When I was in London, I came across people being caught up in the cults and drawn away from their parents, and actually getting just back to a wholehearted, normal Christian community. Christian church began to help them realign their lives. And Paul goes on in Ephesians 6, verse 1, this is right. And the Greek word there is just, or part of a natural order. It's the way things are. And the challenge of the cult of the young and the denigration of the old is rife today. But actually, honour your father and mother is right. It's axiomatic for the Christian and for society. Honour your father and your mother is a command for all of us for all time. And unlike the other commands, which are don't do this, don't do that, this is a positive command. You look at the context of Exodus 19 to 21, and the law of God is given for all God's people. Not just the people who he called and rescued, but also they're there for the whole of society. And the New Testament reinforces the importance of this commandment. It continues even when our parents have died. And sadly, I so often heard, for no particularly good reason, that children denigrate their deceased parents. What is the obligation? What's this commandment for us? Honour your father and your mother. The second question, though, is what is the application? Say, John, I hear that, but how does that fit in to my life? How do I honour my parents? Of course, the opposite of giving honour is to despise. And this is a positive command. We'll do all we can. We'll do certain things as well as avoiding others to honour them. And this is a command which will need to be thought through prayerfully at different times in our lives. I had a fascinating 2 days on Friday and Saturday, getting back rather late last night. I'm on a committee for Church of England, where the Roman Catholic bishops and clergy and laity will meet, about 20 of us, and the Church of England. And I went up to Ampleforth in Yorkshire. The mist didn't lift even at York at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. It was still grey and dark, unlike I hear Wargrave. But what's fascinating was I came out of that great abbey, having joined one of the monks and others for a service. And there's an Oxford don there, university lecturer, And we were just commenting about the make-up of the service together. And he's a Roman Catholic. And he said to me, of course, John, the reason the Benedictines have that emphasis in their teaching and prayers is because they want to avoid being Pharisees, Pharisaism. That's fascinating, because the prayers were saying, Lord, protect us from being one thing outwardly and not having reality inwardly, or being something inwardly, but not having the reality outwardly. Very striking, because it went through the whole of that service. I had no idea why it was like that until he explained that to me. And actually, you and I are so often Pharisees when it comes to this commandment. We're sinful and lazy, and we prefer to list the things to do and to stick at the minimum, not to see how the commandment fills out in our lives. And we need to think through the whole meaning of this commandment very prayerfully at different times in our life. Again and again, to think it through. And it will apply at different times in different ways for all of us at the different stages of our lives. But let me give you some examples how you might honour your parents, your father and mother. The first area is by obeying. Again, Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You are legally obliged to obey your parents until you're 18 in certain areas of life. But the Christian, obedience is an ongoing priority. Think of Jesus in Luke 2, verse 51. Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. Or Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. That said, life will vary the obligation, how it's lived out. One of the axiomatic things taught in the Bible is the man will leave his father and mother and cleave and become one flesh. When that happens, a new family unit is formed. And of course, the symbolism for hundreds of years on this site, probably thousands actually, over a thousand, is that a bride would walk down this aisle with her father bringing her down to join her husband-to-be at the front. And at the end of the service, the bride and groom go out together, and the father and his wife and the groom's parents walk out behind. There's a change in relationships. And actually there is new obligations when you're married. It doesn't alter the way we live. And actually it may be that when we're economically dependent, also we're not in the same way going to honour our parents as we do when they provide for us in so many different areas of life. And then for others it's very costly, because more than obeying our parents, honouring them, there's that command to follow Jesus. And Jesus in Matthew 10 verse 37 says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus Christ, the first priority, but of course, as far as we can, we will honour our father and mother. Obedience changes, but honour doesn't. And then we'll show respect not just in obeying, but also, new word, respecting. That's how we honour our parents. On one level, as children, our parents should be God's representatives. I know I failed my children in not doing that adequately. But it is appropriate to recognise while our parents are alive that they are over us in some way. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Listen, my sons, to father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. And the book of Proverbs goes on. Hold instruction, do not let it go. Proverbs 15, verse 20. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. It means we will respect their views and opinions, even if we disagree in some ways. Mark Twain put it like this: when I was 14, my father was so stupid, I could hardly bear him. But when I was 21, I was amazed how much he'd learnt in 7 years. Obeying, respecting, another area is loving. In 1 Kings 19, there's a fascinating example where Elisha says to Elijah, when he's called to be a prophet, let me first go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will come with you. he saw the obligation to his parents in that way, though he's been called by God to a great task. And can I also say, now I've hit 50, just over, one thing I do notice, I'm sure I didn't notice when I was younger, is that some young people are too easily self-conscious about affection, especially their mothers, in public, when it's appropriate to show affection to your mother and greet her and kiss her or hug her. It's the right thing to do, probably, in most circumstances. It's very sad, actually, when you find that children are ashamed of their parents. And it can be shame, not just intellectually, but also even materially, because they feel they've done better than their parents. That's not loving your parents. And we're a bit empty in church this morning, and that's for a good reason. We will show honour by visiting our parents. There's quite a lot of numbers of families here, and others who are away. There's other people here who've got their children with them. But actually visiting our parents is very important. It's not always possible. We shouldn't make Christian service an excuse. We can honour in making sure we visit regularly. We honour also in caring for them. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old. And Paul can say in 1 Timothy 5, anyone who does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And think of Jesus at the cross, the spiritual agony of dying for mankind's sin. And he looks at John, he says, John, here's your mother. To his mother, he says, Mother, here's your son, John. And actually, as our parents get older and frailer, to honour means sympathetic care. And it may be for some of us, but they come to live near us or even with us as we care for them, as their bodies and minds wear out. So honour in obeying, respecting, loving, visiting, caring. Third question, what is the result? Society is ordered, family life is blessed. Following God's commandments, friends, we know brings so much blessing. That great commandment, Exodus 20 verse 12, honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you. It has a corporate and an individual dimension. As Paul says, Ephesians 6 verse 2, our first reading, honour your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. If we obey God by honouring our parents, we will not be losers. We will gain. They'll gain. Our families will gain. Our country and world will gain. But it may go well with you, is what the commandment says. And the context of Ephesians 6, but you notice that we didn't start there when Bob read, but Ephesians 6, that whole section of the letter is about being filled with the Spirit. If you long to be filled with the Spirit, make sure that actually in those relational commands you're doing the things it says, which involves honouring your father and mother. I'm aware of those days, my failure at times to honour my parents as I should have done. So how good to take bread and wine later on, emblems of Christ's body broken and blood shed. And how wonderful, as John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. May God, on this Mothering Sunday, help us to think through and pray through this wonderful commandment. Amen.